shepherds and sheep are always a bit of a challenge for a kid from Flatbush. You might realize that shepherd was in the ancient Middle East a metaphor for kings and sovereigns, and we all are very well aware that in the Old Testament God is frequently spoken of as shepherd. But when it comes to Jesus calling himself the shepherd and calling us the sheep, I kind of have a little bit of a problem. My problem is that shepherds and sheep belong to two different species in the genus of animals. But Jesus and we are not different species. We are the same species. We share that. Human being, human mammals. Oh, sure, Jesus is divine, but the divine is not another species. It's not a genus. It transcends totally. I realize that this usage is metaphor, but sometimes you need to say, block that metaphor or watch the limits of it. All right, I'm feeling better now. Now I can get to. So let's look at what's positive in this metaphor, what truth it does hold. The point of the metaphor is the qualities of the good shepherd. That's what Jesus talks about in the Gospels. He doesn't get much into the qualities of good sheep except to say that they hear and respond to the shepherd's voice. We are still in the Easter season, and Easter for me is all about presence, the gift of presence, offered to a world that is largely and destructively absent, alienated, estranged from its own God-given goodness and its God-given potentialities. By naming the risen Jesus the Good Shepherd, we are focusing on the services the risen one provides us in terms of authority, precisely by offering us his presence. The risen Jesus exercises authority in our lives in an ultimate way. Ordinarily, Jesus doesn't intervene in the course of human affairs and fix them. Ordinarily, the risen Jesus provides the services of a good human authority figure, but does so in an ultimate way. What are some of these services? First of all, the risen Jesus offers us ultimate safety. No one can take them out of my hand, he says in today's gospel. Their enemies can't do it, sickness can't do it, violence can't do it, death itself cannot do it. This, of course, is ultimate safety, not proximate safety. Proximate safety is our responsibility toward one another. My next-door neighbor can run over my dog with his car. A tornado can do in my house. I can foolishly ski down the advanced hill and crash into a tree. But through all of that, the risen Jesus is offering ultimate safety. If we human beings relied more on that ultimate level of safety and trusted it as real, as reliable, we would relate to each other and to ourselves in a very different way than is often the case. Secondly, the risen Jesus offers us direction and purpose in our lives. In a human organization, the CEO is supposed to represent in a signal way the direction and purpose of the organization, not all by him or herself, but in a central orienting way. A CEO needs to find 6,000 different ways of paraphrasing the purpose of the organization and holding that up in front of the folks in the organization, because the purpose is the mobilizing and unifying bond among them all. With the risen Jesus, it is different. The risen Jesus doesn't simply represent and remind us of our purpose. The risen Jesus gives us our purpose. Remember the Baltimore Catechism answer to the question, why did God make me? Most of you probably of a certain age could rattle that right off. Unfortunately, the answer in the Catechism was inadequate. It is moralistic and fails to mention the good news. And how many people have noticed? The risen Jesus gives us our purpose. We are created by God through Christ in the Spirit to receive God's freely offered unconditional love That's missing from the catechism. And to respond freely and joyfully to that love by continually seeking to know, love, and serve God and our neighbor in this life and be happy with God forever in the next. Thirdly, the risen Jesus manages the boundaries of our lives in an ultimate way. Another way of putting it, the risen Jesus offers us an ultimate holding environment, strong enough to ensure ultimate safety, but flexible enough to give us room to grow and experiment and make mistakes and learn at each stage of our journey. We experience the risen Jesus as sometimes offering us support interiorly and externally, at other times challenging us, unsettling us, pinching our complacency so that we will keep growing, never stop growing. Safety, purpose, and boundary management, three major services of formal authority to individuals and organizations, especially when they are operating in whitewater situations. And through all of those services, the risen Jesus is present to us wholly, totally, on the dance floor of our lives, offering each of us and every group we belong to complete attention, as if we, you and I, or our group, were the only folks alive. Yet the same risen Jesus is totally present to the whole cosmos, from the balcony, as it were. He tenderly numbers the hairs of our heads, but he also lovingly attends to every emergent supernova and every hungry black hole. For me, Pope Francis is a great model of a formal authority figure. He happens to have that role in a billion-member global organization that is 2,000 years old. How can he get up in the morning? How can he keep smiling? Now, Francis is finite. He's fallible, like all popes. He has his limits. Women and gays are not his strong suits. Where he hails from may have something to do with that. But in some other ways, he is marvelous in what he has said and done, and in what he seems to be trying to bring about in our church. I'd like to view him for a moment through three prisms: symbol, style, and structure. They are very intertwined, and they all have to do with creative management of all kinds of boundaries. The symbols we have witnessed since his first papal moments, when he asked the crowd in St. Peter's to pray for him before he blessed them. And then he washed the feet of the Muslim woman on Holy Thursday. Now, there's a symbol shooting off sparks in all kinds of directions. You've got to admit that. And then he stood in a circle with recovering addicts, their arms around him and his around them, all equal in their humanity, blessedness, and brokenness. And now he brings 12 Muslim refugees home with him. I could go on and on about the symbol-making power of this individual. Style. John O'Malley, the wonderful Jesuit historian at Georgetown, has been insisting for years that the epical shift that the Second Vatican Council represents is a huge change in style, change in the Church's way of proceeding, to use a Jesuit term. For the most part, there was a doctrinal change in the council, some significant change, but largely it's an invitation to a different style. But change in style can be very substantial over time. If you do things in a different way, if you move around in different ways, if you listen to people's experience and not just instruct them, you start to see things from new perspectives and come to appreciate the strengths and limitations of some previously made doctrinal commitments. Pope Francis's efforts at changing the Church's style, how the Church does its business, is closely tied to the question of structures. He made the Synod of Bishops on the Family a two-step process. He made the bishops speak their minds and not try to read his mind to say the acceptable thing, which was how the synods used to function before him. He sent out questionnaires to the people of God about sex and marriage and family. He's urging collegiality, a fundamental theme of Vatican II that previous recent popes underplayed. He is urging subsidiarity, asking priests on the local level to discern with fellow Catholics who are in irregular situations what God is calling them to. How is God calling you? How is God calling me to a fresh form of presence in Eastertide 2016? We have Jesus' example. We have Pope Francis' example about presence, true presence. How is the risen Jesus inviting you, inviting me this Easter season to change with regard to symbol or style or structure? Is the risen Jesus inviting you to exercise formal authority in a somewhat different way in your family or organization? How much emphasis do you put on boundaries? How much emphasis do you give to opportunities for exploration and experimentation in the family, in the company? But most of all, during this Easter season, how is God calling you? How is God calling me to a fresh form of presence to other persons in our lives and to the groups in which we regularly participate?